This week, the AI doll is looking after your grandma, reminding her to take her medication, and the AI drones flying around and picking your fruit. This is AI for Everyone, a weekly roundup of the most interesting stories in AI and tech for non-tech people who like to keep themselves informed and educated about the latest developments from around the world. I'm Miles Dillon, and I believe that AI is going to have a positive impact on our lives, but those people who continually learn and adapt to the changes it brings will be the ones who benefit the most. Let's get into it for this week. Yaniv Manor is the founder of Tevil Drone Harvesting, and he is not from a farming background. He was actually inspired by a documentary on labour shortages in Israel to explore the use of robots in farming. Now, robot harvesters have been proposed since the 1960s, but obviously challenges around navigating foliage and avoiding crop damage have totally hindered widespread adoption. But advances recently in computer vision, that's when the camera on a computer can see stuff and actually understand what it's seeing rather than just taking a picture. It can understand what's going on in the world around it. Computer vision, machine learning and robotics have enabled a startup like Tevil to be able to start harvesting fruits. And it is really is quite remarkable. When I saw this video, thank you to my friend Dan for sending this to me. When I saw this video, I was like, this is crazy. I have to talk about this on the podcast. So they've got these autonomous flying drones and they're tethered to a central machine. And they use these suction tubes to gather fruit without damaging them. And the robots are guided by these algorithms, very advanced algorithms informed by sensors and cameras. Now, the only way I can describe this is imagine when you see a tractor going along the middle of rows and rows and rows of apple trees, for example. And in the middle of the apple trees, there's space for a tractor to drive or a small tractor to drive down the middle. And the tractor will be towing a little trailer where you can pick the fruit and the fruit goes in the trailer very gently by a human. Now, what this Tevil drone situation is there's like six or seven drones attached to a trailer, effectively without a tractor, just a trailer, and the trailer autonomously moves forward down the middle of the two lines of apple trees, and these little drones fly up just like the drones you've probably seen people flying around on the seafront or in a park, a little bit bigger maybe, and they go up and they've got this long nozzle at the front of the drone, and you can see a picture of the drone. You can see what the drone is seeing. The video shows the drone looking at the apples, and the drone is able to tell exactly the right color of the apple that should be picked. So it can look at a bunch of different apples and be like, yes, 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 no, 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 yes, yes, this one. So it goes out and its nozzle goes out and it sucks really hard, like, and pulls the apple off the tree, turns around, flies down to the central tractor in the middle, which is only like 10 or 15 feet away, and gently drops it into the trailer of the tractor. It is actually quite amazing. So there's six or seven or eight of these little drones flying around picking apples all the time. And one of the advantages I heard a farmer in California talking about is that actually harvesting apples from the top of a tree is actually quite dangerous, and they have a very high number of accidents because the ground's kind of uneven. They have to put a ladder up and people are kind of climbing on the ladder to pick the apples. It's super dangerous. Now, it's also quite crazy because the other thing this farmer was saying is that these drones can work constantly in hot weather, in cold weather, 24 hours a day, and it doesn't matter if it's dark. And that is like crazy for the impact on human jobs. Now, in the UK, I was just doing some research. There are estimated to be 500,000 people in the UK employed in fruit picking, commanding between £20 and £30 an hour. And that's like a pretty high wage for, like, you know, what would be described as a low skill job. I used to think picking fruit was a job that I would like to do when I was a teenager. I never actually did it, but that seemed like a cool job to do for like not very much money. But £20 to £30 an hour, because there's a serious shortage of labour in this country. So if you compare that to the unemployment figures in the UK at the moment, we have around 1.3 million people unemployed. If you add 500,000 to that, that is a huge addition to the unemployment rate. In America, it's 2.6 million employed in fruit picking, and the unemployment rate is 6.5 million. Again, a huge impact. And from what I could see these farmers and what they were talking about, it just seemed like a no-brainer. There's no way that these farmers were going to be going back to human picking fruits. It just seems like an absolute no-brainer to be going straight for the robots. And I don't really know what to say about it, really. It's a bit like other jobs which got automated, like working in a mill, turning the mill to grind flour. And people were really upset about that 300 years ago when that became automated with steam. And is that really a job that we wish was still here now? I don't know. I don't think so. I wonder whether in 100 years' time where the new jobs that are created will look back and think, actually, fruit picking is a sort of job that really we don't really need to do, and there are actually much more fun, interesting, less dangerous jobs that humans can do, and we'll leave the fruit picking to the robots. I don't know. I'm not totally sure if I believe everything I'm saying here, but it's just really interesting, and these drones are very, very sophisticated. In South Korea, local governments are investing in 7,000 AI robot dolls to provide companionship and care to seniors and dementia patients. These dolls are costing about $1,800 per robot, and they're by a company called Hyodal, and they're designed to engage users in conversations, offer medication reminders, and provide, you know, a whole range of different interactive features like quizzes, exercise programs, and music sessions. And they look a bit like a doll. They're quite sweet looking. I'm sure my children will really like one of these. They're just a very, very expensive toy, but they actually provide some care and some useful things. So there were some initial concerns, and you can think about some concerns. Some of them are to do with data privacy, because they can record stuff and they can see stuff as well. It does sound a bit dystopian as well, doesn't it? But data from studies involving 9,000 users has revealed significant positive outcomes. Users experienced a notable reduction in depression levels and improvements in medical adherence. So that's like reminding the old people to take their pills at the right time, which obviously, if your grandparent is not living at home and you can't be there to remind them to take their pills the whole time, it's very difficult to remind. I've looked after my grandma before. It's very hard to remind her to take her pills when she's meant to take them. But some of the safety features are also things like making sure that movement is happening all the time. If there's no movement detected, it can alert a loved one. And other things are that it offers touch interaction, 24-hour voice reminders, health coaching, engaging activities. Like, I don't really know what the activities are. It keeps saying that they've got these engaging activities that do stuff, but somehow depression is down, enjoyment is up, and adherence to medication is up. And South Korea's got a huge problem with an aging population. They're very similar to Japan. The birth rate is under one, and you know, they're under the replacement rate. They've got a huge number of old people. And so I guess the government are trying to get ahead of the curve and decide we need to do something about all these old people that are really sad. I don't know, can't hate on it too much if it's having some positive impacts on people. And the video I saw of this old lady, she really liked the doll. I think she had some dementia. She was kind of stroking it and patting it, and then it was reminding her to take her pills. You're stroking it and patting it, and then it was reminding her to get up and move around and do some exercise. It's time to go for a walk. So, you know, it's probably not the ideal situation. Best thing is if you can just pop around and see your grandma every day, I guess, but it's just not possible, is it, for most people? So, great, AI caregiving dolls are here. Now, I have got another minute or two where I could, or minute and a half, where I could get another story in, but I also had a bunch of emails from people and people asking me what I do, who I am, how I got into AI, and I sort of wonder, like, who are these people? But now I'm realizing that more and more people are listening to the podcast who absolutely don't know me and have no connection to me whatsoever. So I just thought I'd introduce myself a bit. So my name is Miles. I live in the UK. I have three children, and I'm married to Bex, my wife. And I have a property investment business with my friend Ash. I also have a plumbing and heating company. I also run a music group called Mana Collective. I do a bunch of different things like that. I quite enjoy doing different things. And I have a podcast on AI. And I got into AI about 9 years ago when my friend David Gardner, if you're listening, David, thank you so much, told me about artificial intelligence. And I had no idea what that was. I don't think anyone had heard of artificial intelligence back then, really. And I was doing some property stuff. And he said to me that I should probably have something else going on, because if artificial intelligence comes in a big way, it'll have a huge impact on the world and jobs and property market and all this kind of thing. So I decided that I would train as a plumber. So I became a plumber, started a plumbing heating company. It's going very well at the moment. And it just means that I have this sort of dual income from property and plumbing and heating. And I'm sort of hoping the reason I became a plumber is that it'll be a long time before you can get your boiler fixed or a leak fixed by AI or some kind of robot. So that's one of the reasons I did that. What some other stuff is interesting about me? I'm pretty obsessed with fitness. I love lifting weights. I also do a little bit of running, but not really like competitive, more just to like, it's good to stay fit at running, isn't it? I love swimming. I'm really into surfing. I don't really know what else is interesting to know about me, but that's me. And I hope that you enjoy listening to my podcast. If you've got to this point in it, I'm sure you do. And I always ask the same thing. Recently, I've been saying, if you tell a friend about my podcast, by word of mouth, that is much better than just texting it to them. Maybe you could text it to them afterwards. And if you're one of those people who's got in touch with me, I hope that just fills you in a bit about the person that's talking to you every week. And thank you so much for listening. I'm very, very grateful.